Shirlette is an amazing poet, musician, and performer. I had the pleasure of organizing a sort of a bush bash reading in October called Poets Against the Shrub, and Shirlette was one of the five poets who read, and she brought down the house. And so let's give a warm round of applause, a warm welcome for Shirlette Ammons.
Thank you, Patrick. How's everybody doing? All right. Thank you all for being patient with me. I'm always a dollar short and a day late, it seems. I'm trying to work on that. I'm honored to be here amongst this gathering of poets and poetry lovers. So I'm just going to share a few poems with you from my book. Thematically, you know, based on, been thinking about being a woman a lot lately, just because that's what I am. That's what I was given to work with. So I've been trying to work with that, which hadn't always been easy. So I just want to share a few poems based on that theme, or this particular quote by Miss June Jordan. A woman's body is the universal shelter. I want to start with a poem called If Art is Dead. Wrote it for a mentor of mine who said that art was dead and kind of crushed my spirits. But if art is dead, woke up early, by all calculations had stayed up too late, but the cold sweat wouldn't let me rest real easy. I bet I know exactly where my rapid eye movement went. So I pulled out my pastels, left the light off while this vision passionately passed before me. It used the sweetest voice to employ my hand across invisible canvas, smearing paper like Romare. Masterpiece waiting to happen. But in the midst of my artistic misfit, the same voice who inspired me said, go to sleep, don't wake up. I love you, art is dead. So what am I? A fake flower child? A full-fledged, fist-first Black Panther with a cast on my limbs? And who am I? A revolutionist stuck in political confusion who chooses to self-righteously live? And what are you? A card-carrying anti-labelist, a reformed Baptist, a slick willy activist? And what is this? New age complacency with no intention of saving me? Double-talking ideology? The world must be schizophrenic. So what you telling me? I should sit quietly, boil water, wait patiently, let the bubbles rumble and burn my notion to move? And what you gonna do? Shop around like a bloodhound on the downside of economic imbalance to feed America's need to consume? I can't believe you. I made love to every one of your personalities, outlined all the fallacies left to fight in pastel late at night when I could have easily tossed all my rebellious thoughts out the window, but instead I kept the lights low and massaged all your pains. Then when the sun rose, you told me art was just slang for the way resurrection hangs between brimstone and fire. So where are you? In the valley, with no desire to climb, fanning the flame till your willpower expires? I refuse to believe you. I made love to every one of your personalities. I drank from your thirst, embraced your fury, erased my own fate, self-destruction. Now as we sit eye to vision, my pastel smeared the image of a bruised lover, and my reflection is screaming, art ain't luxury if it's meaning. So if art is deceased, then love lies fatally wounded on the horizon. Thank you. This poem is called Sub Goldsboro Garage Gals, Goldsboro, which sits right above Mount Olive, North Carolina, which is where I'm from proudly. Goldsboro's the city, Mount Olive's the town, you know, just to put it in, you know, operable terms. So this here is called Sub Goldsboro Garage Gals, and it's for my aunts. And I wrote it in memory of what it must have been like for them after my granddaddy died. Sub Goldsboro Garage Gals. Propped in sleek recline, Chipped cinder loafs as amateur Amazons scan hooded vehicles for leaky lubricants. A grimacing Grand Torino, glued grounded by a gluttonous gasket, greets a girlish sub-Goldsboro gang who done graduated to grassy garage gals since granddaddy's gone. Buried beneath this weak wreckage, women wet with winced whiskey wear wild weekends to weather work they weariness. They rear a wedlock litter, wrenching a rusty worn oil filter with a family of phallicless, faultless fingers. Round where wheat lies weeds and wines, washpots wait on wood heaters to warm winter water, warning weary women who wear make-do wisdom to wade every once in a while. This next poem is called Militant Black Women, and I wrote it in, for militant black women. My cousin is older than 50. She got an afro and a lesbian for a girlfriend. She got sense, too. She stayed up late last night to school me because she figured I needed her very particular feelings about country crackers. Them folks weren't ready to deal with the size of her world, black and suspiciously bold like the image I got of her and her afro riding down old Kenansville Road, rounding them sharp curves with the nerve to coast down the ripest black thighs. Since my cousin got sense, she turned militant, and omitting the details, I figure radicalism had her admitting black chicks was where it's at when you need to be understood. Otherwise, you would think your own self is crazy for trying to get educated beyond the backwoods. Now we sit, talking about everything but details. I listen, wondering if I have inherited the conniption to stroll old Kenansville Road, scouting tobacco fields for militant black women. Thank you. This next poem is This next poem is called One Dead Nigger. I dedicate it to all the mamas who be missing their boys, who they don't recognize, their young black men who don't recognize, who've been co-opted by the system or bought into, you know, corner politics, and you know, get kind of lost and don't know no particular way out. So this is hopefully in honor of the death of the nigger mentality. My nigga died and his death is killing me. So save your frustrations and save your complacent enslavements for pale-faced haters, traitors and shackles and pig feet. This is victory. My nigga is dead. My nigga died. His death is fueling me like octane and explosions, false mentalities eroding, Tally's corner and 40s both breaking like glass on concrete till Dixie celebrates self-inflicted defeat. My nigga died and his death is cleaning me like ball spots and hip-hop when beats drop. Sisters stop backing their ass up to face, stand up and face God's music, using essence as instruments strung up out of tune. My nigga died and his death is freeing me, so claim your salvation. Make your mind state willing and able to change the same thing around. Hold down the foundation till your house is in order. My nanny's nigga's a martyr. His power fist kissed the earth, broke the noose, made railroads underground, resurrected his spirit. No prison could compound this simple dead nigga who simply used his wings to get high. Say la, my nigga's dead, and his death is wealth to the used-to-be thug with mother's milk still fresh on his breath. His only history, the American century of United States niggas made red-eyed by the white man's blues. Check the tomb, you'll see my nigga stretched out, his last blunt in his mouth, his last thought, the calm waters of ancestral wombs. My nigga died and left us room for freedom, a new season to teach the meaning of the kingdom to come. Thank you. This poem is the title piece from my book. It's called Stump Hole. Anybody from the country knows that stump hole is a fancy word for moonshine, and I think it's a very feminine and powerful word. But stump hole. Aunts, not ain'ts, like white folks say, got educated in factories, got initiated in the back of something to love and work, grinding and bumping. Now, this was before Blue Lights Black profiled, back when granddaddy's name reeked of moonshine, and pretty girls with smiling eyes had stuff so sweet, the man would let them go, sometimes, for just to taste the stump hole. Girl, you know you got plenty more to give. Tell your mama I said hey, and ask your daddy how he been. I know he make it in that smokehouse and is running through your skin. If your stump be holy like the gospel, for a taste, I won't take you in. The truth is, blue balls of men in blue came from black girls in backwoods. And what was known as dirt path slums, y'all probably know now as the hood. So keep your legs closed and your skirts down, because mama told you to be good. And when your aunts mention the stump, they ain't talking about no wood. Thank you very much. This is the last piece I'm going to share with y'all. Thank you for your attention, your time, and your patience. This is called Playing Woman. Reduced to all capital letters, I find myself in the midst of living smaller than secluded, tinier than four writing walls. I guess this is a good beginning. I watch the mirror, believing Baldwin, a better woman than most, to confess that reflections have been known to lie, but I consider myself facing the truth, naked. If I could document all the women I have played, would I know which to deem accountable for this mural of mistakes? If I forget to leave an apology on her plate, will she sincerely accept the blame? If I find myself alone like a wrinkling Zora, coughing up everything but the memory, will I embrace old age? If I cannot absolve all the lovers who showered me with uncertainty, how will I keep my own taste buds from souring? A black girl playing woman is destined to be somebody's mama, paranoid and waiting, calculating every bruise, accepting each desperate collect call, beaming a scrapbook of basketball trophies, covering peeling panel with pictures of Jesus. Thank you.
Charlotte, did you bring copies of Stump Hole Anthology? Please, her book is great. It's in the back, and thank you very much. That was amazing.